Raised Rowdy.
Hey guys, welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast. My name is Kurt Ozon.
And I'm Nikki T.
I'm Tyler Dial.
Yeah, you can say your name. You can be part of the
I was
club.
Waiting for it.
Usually Kurt will do that, but usually I do it.
I forgot.
Yeah.
I fucked up.
It's okay.
All right. Well, welcome.
Luckily, we're all still dear friends.
Tyler was just inquiring about our theme song, and let's have Uncle Nick explain it, because I think it's kind of cool, and maybe some of our newer listeners might not know who wrote it or what
the
deal is.
The little intro that you hear in front of the podcast is a work tape, which, if you're not familiar with what a work tape is, it's just like, here's the general concept of how this sonically would sound if we made it into a real record, and it was written by Jaron and Neil from the Cadillac 3 and Randy Montana. And they wrote it when they were out. Randy was out on a bus trip with the boys. I think we actually saw him the weekend they wrote it, which is super cool. It was in Ohio. They were at like a bike week.
Didn't Jaron ask you if he could write it or something?
No, Neil told me that he wrote it when I was interviewing Neil on a podcast, and like my brain exploded.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
You didn't have to commission it.
No. He's like, yeah, we wrote a song called Raise Rowdy. And then after, you know, they probably figured out they weren't going to put it out, I was like, hey, can we like use that for the intro song? And they were like, let me clear it. Yep. Cool.
You guys pay them in publishing for every time you do a podcast?
Man, if there
Tyler,
was...
shut the fuck up.
I don't think you understand how podcasting works.
You have like only like you need like a 15-second clip, or then you have to pay or whatever.
Yeah. Well, we would be net negative. They would pay us.
You're promoting them by playing it.
We actually lose money every time we put out a podcast.
Oh boy.
Wait, you're saying there's a full song though, not just the snippet?
Yeah, whole work tape with verses and choruses and a bridge and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I could send it to you.
The same guy that co-wrote Beer Never Broke My Heart wrote our theme song.
And any Saturday Night.
Oh, really? Is Randy on that?
Yeah, Randy and that Jonathan Singleton guy, the same guys that wrote Beer.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of good stuff.
That's right.
Yeah, very good.
Bro.
Cool.
Well, thanks for coming back on the pod, brother.
I know. I was just here talking about album 2, and we already have new music out, and it's like so exciting.
Yeah.
I feel like every time you put a record out, it's like 2 years since you've written those songs, and lately I've just been trying to keep it going and put songs out that I'm excited about in the moment, and trying to go, all right, let's pick a release date and let's go.
I love that.
So that's been fun.
That's the easier part about singles as opposed to albums. A lot of work and like figuring out feature tracks and getting
and I'm so bad about it. Like once it's out, I'm looking forward, and there's like five songs that are all that were never singles that I'm not pushing very hard because I'm just over it, you know. And so I think the plan for us is just a song a month, you know, for the next year. I think that's what like Gavin Adcock has been doing, and I've seen that work, and I have the song, so it's like, why not just put them out? So
I love that. And honestly, it gives people a reason to have something to be excited about almost all the time, which is great.
Very excitable.
Yeah. And
I think if you're excited about it, it comes across in the content and in the posting and just the live show and everything. So
100% agree with that. And then it's also like, everybody can find their new favorite song. It's also like if you're playing live shows, it can constantly feed the live show and let you change it up a little bit.
Yep.
You know, whether it's you playing ahead of it coming out, just seeing what people think, or it's like, okay, now we got a new single in the set and we can play it when we're playing live.
There is nothing better when you're in the rehearsal room and you're doing the song with a band for the first time since you recorded it, and it's like, oh, this is it. So we just opened for Trace Atkins in Arizona, we tried like four or five new songs, and my band always pissed off when I come back into town, and it's like new songs to learn, but it was fun. It was good.
I know that feel for sure. You know what's kind of cool is, you know, I'm sure things are looking a little different for you recently because like you're putting out one song at a time, but you've had some success on social media recently.
Yeah.
We were talking about before the podcast.
Well, that's also a hard thing too is, you know, when I was here last time, I think I had my first viral moment with my song Tumbleweed. And then ever since that, my Instagram jumped from like 13,000 to 30,000. And a lot of it has just been from Tumbleweed. So it is hard to go post those B-sides when Tumbleweed's the one that's moving. And we put that out 2 years ago, you know. And so it's been fun. But also like talking about learning new songs and rehearsing with the band. I was with you in Aspen and you're like, I got to go warm up and rehearse for the Luke show. I'm like, dude, you've played this set 1,000 times. What do you mean you gotta warm up? Let's go play golf or something. You know?
Well, that does help. I think it's more of like a mindset. Like I like to sit and just kind of be quiet and just play music and warm. You know, it's like, you know, Usain Bolt's ran a lot, but he still warms up before he goes. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm comparing myself to him.
Well, it's like the thing at like the Trace Atkins show last week. Like, we didn't have a green room, and so we're sitting out in a tent, and it's like, we should warm up, you guys. Let's practice. I don't think I do that enough. I need to do that more. So,
yeah, man, I think it's just something like getting mentally prepared.
Yeah,
you know, just like a mindset. Because it's weird. It's like you can just kind of stumble out on stage. But I played. What was the last show we played? Oh, ACL. And I fucking played great, at least for me. And I spent all day in my hotel room playing guitar. Then went over to the venue and I watched Dylan Gossett play side stage. And I had my guitar in my hand. I was just jamming along with the band. And then by the time show came around, I had played guitar for like 4 or 5 hours that day. And I got on stage and just everything felt fun. And I wasn't thinking about anything.
I can totally picture you side stage just with an instrument. Not plugged in. Just playing.
Well, I have a little tiny amp box that's like this. And so I can hear myself, but no one else can hear me.
That's awesome.
And I remember like when we were on Aldine tour, you know, with Luke. Stacy Jack, one of his guitar players, was always side stage watching us play, and he would warm up and just jam along with us. I couldn't hear what he was playing, but I always saw he was there. I was like, damn, that's so cool.
That's great.
Because you get to watch the show and warm up at the same time.
Yeah. And pretend like you're on stage playing with him.
Yeah, I'm like, I played ACL with Dylan Goss. It's not a big deal.
He's awesome. He's
great. Yeah. It was fun. Cool. So I highly encourage artists to do similar things too. And one thing I've noticed, it's like band guys is like we have to be able to play the parts or else you just get a different band guy. But artists are a little different. Like they don't seem to, I mean, they have so much on their plate, but it's like they don't like maybe practice as much, I think, sometimes.
I was talking with my mom about this at dinner the other day, and we were out back in Arizona shooting a bunch of videos for the next batch of songs and stuff. And my creative director was there, and I was like, will you explain to them what I do? Because I have such a hard time doing it. And he's like, Tyler, you know, I have little stepbrothers and siblings, and they're like, what does Tyler do every day? And he's like, only 5% of it is playing music and writing songs.
Yeah.
And like so much of it is like making videos and marketing and meetings and planning and stuff like that. And so it's hard to explain to people like what you just said. Like, I'd love to try and make that 10% or 15%.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I know some artists, they're like, I wish I could play guitar like you. I'm like, get a guitar teacher, you know? Or some people are like, I wish I could sing like Stapleton. I'm like, Stapleton has a vocal coach. Get one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like people are like, oh, I didn't think about that sometimes. Yeah. Like, just do it. Why not?
Yeah, and if you do it and you don't like it, you can always stop.
Yeah, you can always quit like a loser.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, I feel like some of it's like you get to learn how to do your breathing exercises. Dude, and
that's everything.
You know, you learn about, you know, whatever. I don't know. I'm not good at singing songs, but
yeah.
I'm sure there's things that, like, even if you only take a few lessons, that stay with you or could stay with you.
Yeah, just, like, kind of learn it, at least with singing, how to, like, keep your voice healthy and learn how to warm up for a show and stuff like that. And it's different for everyone else, but it's, like, artists have to write songs and do TikTok dances and blah, 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 and drive the van. And there's a million, trillion, billion different things they have to do all the time. So it's kind of like they run out of time, you know, in the day. But
I think the most important thing is practicing your craft. And working on your craft, and it's hard to remember that.
Well, I feel like writing informs that too. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like what to work on. It's like, well, you write something, and like maybe you can't play that B minor chord or whatever. So it's kind of like, all right, well, I'll work on that, and that becomes part of the repertoire.
Luckily, there's like plenty of opportunities to get paid to practice in this town. You know, playing downtown and long cover gigs and restaurants and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and that's reps on like dealing with the crowd too.
True.
Has that kind of like affected your live show in a way, or?
In the best way. Yeah. Like, you know, when I first got to town, I don't know if I had this thing where I was like, I don't need to play Broadway. That you'll get stuck down there, burned out. Yeah. And like this year, like, you know, obviously the publishing deal is like great money in your pocket and pays rent and everything. But like, I want to fund my golf addiction. So let's go play downtown more and let's go play as many gigs as possible, you know, in town. So that,
yeah.
And I played a party the other day in Austin or in Fort Worth, for the Texas game. And my whole family there was there, and they're like, you've been playing a lot of gigs lately. They could tell, so that was fun.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Those private gigs are the ones that pay good, too.
Yeah. Oh, and you get to go to the Texas OU game the next day. It was perfect.
Yeah.
It was
fun.
That's great.
We got the win, so.
I hope your team won.
They did, but I know we were talking about Tumbleweed before I took us on another random tangent, but
let's go.
Going back to, like, you know, promoting the songs that, and recording the songs that you're excited about. Like, I've been just trying to figure out how to record, I look back over my short career here in Nashville, and it's like, what are the songs that I'm still playing at my show, and how do I write those, you know? And we went and saw Keith Urban the other night, and it was so fun. All my cousins were there, and I've got a young cousin who's a senior in high school, and he's writing songs. And speaking of knowing how to take care of your voice, he was like screaming the whole time. I'm like, dude, you're going to ruin your voice.
In your ears.
But I know. But I think I brought this up last time, but like Keith Urban, like Kiss a Girl is like a song that I maybe would have been too scared to write a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And lately you've been on a roll writing because I'm like not being too precious. I'm like, we can say the cliche thing there, you know? It's like, so it's been so fun. I've been like on this writing kick, and I'm writing a song, and I'm putting out in a month, and yeah, it's been a blast. So
yeah, I think it takes a lot of creative energy to keep something really, really simple. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like the simpler it is, the harder it is to write sometimes, which is sort of counterintuitive. But same thing, like in the studio, sometimes I'm like, oh, this sounds so cool in my head. And it's like some fancy thing. And I'm like, I'll record it. And I'm like, oh, that sounds like shit. And I'll play something real boring. And I'm like, oh, that sounds great.
Even you know, with production. Like, yeah. Totally. Writing, production, keep it simple, stupid.
There you go. Yeah, so let's talk about your production process and how you're rolling these tunes out month by month.
Well, you got a little sneak peek the other day. We had you in to play some steel and banjo and stuff on the new song. But
yeah, that was fun.
That was so fun, dude. It's always changing. You know, I feel like with the last record, we had a lot of demos that we just turned into records. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm doing a bunch of two-way writes, and those are kind of just being work tapes, and we're going in the studio and starting from those. And that's been really fun to see those come to life. And, you know, I've made the decision we're going to mix all these ourselves and try and go quantity over quality, not saying we're losing quality or anything from mixing it ourselves, but it's been fun, dude. You know, in the studio, I think it's pretty common. You start with scratch tracks and then lay drums down and bass. And even on a lot of these, we're just trying not to be precious. It's like we're using On It Ain't Nothing That You Played On. We took Jake Reed is one of my favorite sample pack guys, and we just took one of his loops, and like they did in Fleetwood Mac Dreams, we just looped that over and over again.
So, oh, cool.
Yeah, that was kind
of
fun.
So for some of the stuff, it's like you're bringing a lot of stuff in-house that you wouldn't, just because you're, you know, every month you're putting a tune out. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're doing things like loops. Are you like playing on the songs instead of like maybe hiring out some stuff? I know like you hired me to play on it, but...
Well, you know, I think we're just trying to get done as much as we can currently. So like the other day we put fake drums on this song that's coming out on Friday, Keeping the West Wild, but we retracked the hi-hat just to give it that live feel.
And, yeah, sure.
You know, little studio techniques to do things here and there, but, you know.
Yeah, I think people would be surprised how many, like, not fake drums, but I would say programmed drums there are on stuff.
Or samples or whatever.
Yeah, you wouldn't even realize it.
You have no idea. Sometimes I feel like we've recorded drums and then felt like we had to put it on the record, where I'm like, oh, I love the demo drums so much more, like the samples we had. And and so I think it's a fine balance of taking what, like doing what you think you have to do versus just doing what feels right. Especially when it comes to like mixing, we'd reference the reference mix too much. And it's like, why don't we just mix it ourselves, you know?
Yeah. So since we're talking about production, what are some stylistic elements and production wise that sort of are a hallmark of like a Tyler Dial song, would you say?
I always try and explain my sound. It's so hard to do, but I think for me, it's like when I look back at some of my favorite songs I've written, they're all kind of vibey.
Yeah.
Like Tumbleweed or Damn Denver, where you can like just kind of get lost in the vibes, I guess. I don't know if that makes any sense. How would you explain vibey?
I think you're
from a technical.
I think, well, there's different kinds of vibes, right? Mm-hmm. There's deathcore vibes,
you know? right.
But I think your Spacey. Music to me is, it's like maybe late summer and the windows are down, or maybe you have some sort of Jeep, and your hands out the window and you're doing one of these kind of things as you cruise along. You know, like during like coronavirus times when that old guy was on a skateboard drinking cranberry juice.
That's my guy.
Yeah, that's
to
that's
dreams.
Like, yeah. That's like when I think of your music, that's what I feel. Does that make sense?
I reference Fleetwood Mac a lot.
Yeah.
I already did.
Again. Yeah. So when would be an appropriate time to listen to a Tyler Dial song? Maybe you had smoked a joint on the beach?
Ideally.
Yeah.
Damn,
not,
that sounds
not
like
when
a
you're
day.
Driving.
Yeah, probably. Maybe you're sipping a Surfside.
Maybe someone else is driving.
Yeah, and you're in the golf cart.
Yeah,
you know.
I don't know. No, making music has been so fun, just because I haven't been so like holding on so tight and so precious. And
yeah,
you know, I feel like when you're doing this and trying to stay inspired is hard. You know, you get burned out easily, and I feel so inspired right now. Like, you know, we were in Aspen before you guys played. Marcus King played a show the week before his record came out, and then the whole week I was like sitting on my hands. I couldn't wait to hear that stuff. And then we were going to the studio the next week, and it's like, dude, let's make some stuff like this Marcus record. You know, it's like so fun, like making music, and oh, it's the best.
Yeah, and that probably is coming out in being maybe a more prolific writer too. Seems like you're saying you're having a lot less problems getting songs out.
Oh, it's like a song, an awesome song a week, and it's like I do feel that comes in waves though, where it's like you get one of those months a year maybe where you're just like song after song, and you're constantly chasing that. Really, that's, I think, so funny. Is the challenge. But
I remember I talked to Colby after he put out Western White Pines record. He's like, I'll never be able to write an album again. Yeah. I can't do it. I'll never be able to beat these songs. And then a month later, he was like, bro, I've written like 30 songs.
Like, it's the best feeling. That's why you do it, you know? And when it's not happening, you start to question things. And you're like, what am I doing? And
I totally get why like Greeks believed in muses and like that. Maybe some of this creativity comes in waves and like, oh no, like I'm unfavored by the gods now because I can't write a good song or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I love the surfing analogy of like a literal wave waiting for the right waves to come.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I feel like that's constantly what we're doing. But
and just to get back to the practicing thing too, also, I think songwriting is definitely a muscle that you can flex. You know, it's something you can physically practice it. Yeah. And obviously maybe like, you know, you've heard these stories where this gene, like Paul McCartney dreamt the song yesterday and like woke up and like wrote it, at least the melody. And I think that can happen, but it's like, unless you put the, you know, Paul also said, you got to write 1,000 bad songs before you can get to the first one.
Yeah.
So you do have to do the work to get there.
I feel like you're always doing the work to get there too, especially in that. I'm trying, but, you know, in the social media game too, we just also trying to get better there, you know, and trying to not be burnt out with that, which is so tough, but.
Good luck, bro.
I know. Yeah. We just did a week-long video shoot back out home in Arizona, and it was, like, the most fulfilling, like, so exciting. It was so exciting of, like, editing all the videos on the plane, you know?
Are you editing them, too? Or?
I'm doing all the videos for this one. I didn't direct them, but kind of produced and planned them with this guy, Jake Hole. He's been awesome. He does the Alex Lambert stuff.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, the goal was, like, all right, we got 4 songs that we just cut. Let's go for a week and let's get like 20 to 30 pieces of content for each song. But let's not make it like the last record. I feel like it was like, let's go to the beach and lip sing in cool locations. But for these, we're like coming up with intentional creative ideas. And like, it was so much fun, man. It's like, we were just talking about how I dropped 5 rolls of film off and I'm too impatient. So I paid for the expedited developing.
I used to do that.
You did?
Yeah. Speaking of film, I will tell a story. It has nothing to do with your career. I'm sorry, but
that's cool.
Why not?
Like, we could turn this into a film podcast.
Yeah, totally. I was at the movie theaters, and Kaylee and I were sitting at the back of my car. I have like a, what do you call it, SUV kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. Hatchback.
Yes. And she was like, do you have a jack in your car? Like, in case your tire got flat? I'm like, yeah, I think so.
I know where this is going.
And so I opened up to see. And I did have a jack, and I found a roll of film.
It's the best.
And I was like, what is this? And I remember in 2022, I went hiking with my parents in North Carolina. And I opened my backpack while we were on the trail, and I thought I'd lost a roll. And it actually didn't fall out on the trail. It fell out in my car. And I just got the pictures back, and they're just the cutest photos of my parents ever. And I'm so happy to have found them.
Did anything happen to the photo from sitting in the car for 2 years? No,
I don't think so. It still looks, they look great.
That's awesome. That's nothing worse than losing a roll of film, but then you find it and it's like a little time capsule.
Oh man, so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Well, that's cool that you're editing all your own like content stuff.
Well, it's fun. Like I'd honestly love to do it for other people. I had a clothing company reach out that my friend runs. That's like, will you run our social media and do all that? And, you know, it's just such a DIY world now where it's like, we're going to mix it all. We're going to do it all, editing and save some money and like do it ourselves. And I think I've gotten pretty good at it the last couple of years. And so, yeah, just pumped out some visualizers and lyric videos and, you know, coloring everything. And like,
honestly, the cool part about that is it makes it exactly you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the reason I do it is because I someone will do it and then I'll wait 2 weeks to get it back and I'll want to take over and change everything and I'll be like, just send it to me. So it's fun. The world building part is so much fun to me. Like besides the sonic world building, the visual part of it, I think mm-hmm. is just as important. And yeah, trying to get everything to look like it sounds and to sound like it looks, you know, I think part of the deal. So
I love that. It's branding. And I think like as you were talking about, like when we had you on the pod the last time, you were talking about like the visuals and like kind of like the way you wanted the photos to look. Like I think as someone that just loves music, like an artist hearing that creative vision and an artist having it and knowing kind of, even if they don't know exactly where they're going, they know where they want to steer.
Yep.
Is so powerful.
I woke up so excited this morning and went straight to the computer before I had like water to like edit the photos and video. And then, and it's fun when you're excited and you're not like, oh, I hope this performs, you know, or whatever. Cause you can't really control that either. So
yeah,
it's so fun. It's like, and then there's like all these like happy accidents of like you plan all these shots and you're like, oh, we didn't get this shot, but we were driving back and it was sunset and we thought we were done and we drove by this like church in the desert and we were like, let's pull over. And then all of a sudden the moon starts rising and it was like, oh my God. Yeah, could be an album cover right there. Whatever, you know? It's like the best feeling. It's so much fun.
Love that.
What are some things that you've sort of, skills that you've picked up, like kind of DIYing things?
I mean, lately, running Facebook ads.
How does that work? I've never done that. I know you've probably done that.
Not too much.
Yeah, give us a little insight there.
Sometimes my managers get mad. They're like, will you just like not do this? Because someone else should be doing this for you. But every time we pass it off to a Facebook ads company, it's they run ads to like Luke Bryan fans because they, you know, or they're so lazy they check it once every 2 weeks and I'm like, you need someone who's doing it every day, you know, who, no one's going to care as much about things as you, you know. And so when it comes to Facebook ads or you know, coloring the stuff, I have so much inspiration. I know what I want it to look like, you know?
Can you elaborate more on the ads thing, because I've never done that. I always see like the boost this post button, but I'm like, do people still use Facebook? I guess they do, I don't. But
yes.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people do, just a different demo than you.
Yeah.
I think that the thing with ads is like, it's not going to make your career. It's not going to break you, but it's really helpful for like momentum, you know, and in Spotify and that. It's like, we're all trying to, it's not like you're trying to game an algorithm, but it is like a game in a way. And I think it's a great way to get people to hear your song, especially if you don't have the momentum yet. To just drop a song and have listeners there, you know.
So it's like with Tumbleweed, it's like you see that it was doing well, you throw a little, as Nick would say, gas on the fire kind of a thing with the ads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the move is, you know, I don't know how many of the listeners here are aspiring artists or are posting all the time, but and if they even have access to this, but Instagram started a thing called trial reels where you can post and your followers don't see it. And so that's how I blew up Tumbleweed, as I was posting it 10 times a day on Instagram. And then you're able to see which
video. What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It basically makes it kind of like how TikTok doesn't get mad at you for posting too much. Trial reels means, you can say, hey, is this reel doing good by showing it to random people? If so, then you could turn it on to show it to your people, kind of.
You could post the same video with different text hooks or different parts of the song just to see what's resonating before you share it. And so basically, what my ad strategy is let's find the videos that are performing really well and are capturing people's attention, and let's run ads to those. So, yeah.
Well, I didn't know that, because I've only done one trial reel, and I was like, I'm going to try trial reels. Yeah. And it got like 50 views, and I was like, okay, it must have been really boring video. Well,
the other thing you got to think of, too, is like, so that trial reels, it tries to guess your target audience. Mm-hmm. It tries to guess the audience that you're going for. If you give it 100 of them, it's going to get it.
Yeah, that's what that's what it took. It took like 30 or 40, and then boom, I had one that got 500,000 views, and I was getting a follower every minute. And, you know, for someone who has been at 13,000 followers for 3-4 years, it was really cool to have that grow and pop off. So
yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's like for an artist, it's like the little things that keep you going. You know, it's writing amazing songs, and it's those moments that are like, okay, I think I cracked something here. Let's keep it going, you know. So.
And I feel like, you know, we'd all like to say that we don't need that external validation to really appreciate our own art, you know what I mean? It's like you can make something great and know that it is great, and you don't need a bunch of strangers saying yes or no. But if they all say yes, it's kind of cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The dopamine hit's definitely real on everything.
Yeah, it's a drug.
Yeah, it's that's why you drink booze. That's why you smoke a J on the beach, you know? That's why you flirt with a girl, you know? Like, that's everything.
I'm sure you guys have little moments that are like, oh, this is working, or, you know.
I literally texted Nick and Matt the other day. One of our videos on YouTube Shorts did really well. And I was like, yay.
little more gas in the tank. A little more to keep you excited and keep going.
Yeah. Well, and that's the hard part, too, is, like, I feel like I do 25 jobs, right?
Minimum.
Yeah. And if I do 25 jobs, I'm not doing any great, you know? It's like, but if you do something and you get, and you figure out how to do it, then you'll know if someone else is doing it for you properly.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I think that's the thing. And obviously, I want to grow it to where I'm not coloring and editing all my videos. But at this point in time, it's like, I have the time to do it. I think I'm pretty good at it. I can maybe make money doing it for other people.
Yep.
You know, on top of all this other stuff I'm doing, you know.
Well, and then that's what I talk about. Like, I remember when I was in my day job back in logistics, and I was like learning a lot of different roles. And they're like, you have an extremely wide base now to when you move forward, you're going to know all the other people that you're interacting with and how you should be interacting with them so that you can make sure that they're understanding what you're doing. You can also teach them the things that you knew, you know. Yeah. So it's just, you're building a pyramid and you got to build the wide base to get the pyramid real tall.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's fun. It's, you know, I do miss the days where you could just call John Marks at Spotify and be like, I have an awesome song. You got to hear it. And he's like, I love it. It's going on New Boots or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, it's like, if you can remind yourself, like, it is crazy. But if you can remind yourself, I get to make music for a living and no one can take that away from me. Like, that's the best. It's so much fun. And it's like, when you're excited and you're inspired, it's so cool. And you know, like I designed the It Ain't Nothing single cover on the plane because I needed it that night to turn it in. It's like, okay, well, let's just do it. You know, it's fun. We're living the dream here, you know?
Yeah.
Should we dive into some of this new music?
Please.
Yeah. Why don't you go through the roster here, bud?
So, Keeping the West Wild is a song we're putting out this Friday, October 17th. And then It Ain't Nothing comes out on November 14th. And so, Keeping the West Wild was an interesting one. I wrote it back in 2020. I always kind of was like, I had to change the lyrics because at first it was, I'm keeping the West wild, I'm out reckless. And this was like when Yellowstone was popular, you know, and everyone was writing those songs like with the cowboy thing in mind. And I never just felt like, it always felt a little too like self-indulgent. And then I met this girl recently who like wakes up to go to watch the sunrise, you know, at 5 a.m. and drive somewhere to go see it. And I'm like, oh, I could write that song for her and be like, she's keeping the West wild. And that opened up, unlocked a new door for me there. And so it got me really excited about that one. And I just finished all the videos for it the last couple of days. It's been so fun. And then, you know, It Ain't Nothing is one that I'm really excited about that I wrote like 2 months ago. I was like, let's go cut a few songs, put that out next. And yeah, like I said, that one's coming. And then, we got a song called Looking Up to My Little Brother. My little brother has always been taller than me and he's more disciplined and, is awesome, and we've been teasing that one, and that's the one that all the publishers are texting me like, that's so good and stuff like
cool.
that. So yeah, and then, you know, we went and shot a bunch of videos for four songs the last couple weeks, so we're gonna have I have the whole next year planned out. So yeah, yeah, you know, bro, just trying to keep it going. And probably gonna give you a call here
please do
tomorrow to see when you're free. But it's just so fun. I love the monthly release strategy because, like I said, you're just excited, so much more excited, and you know, doing it yourself, and it's so much fun. So it's been fun. It's been awesome.
Yeah, it's like the vibe, I would say, to our listeners, just to talk about the music a little more. I feel like I said, the window down thing, the vibe, but it's also kind of like, I play banjo on this tune, so it kind of has that Eaglesy kind of vibe.
Oh, it's the best.
So if you like the Eagles, check Tyler's music out.
Well, it's funny. Like we talked about, like, I was here 2 months ago talking about my album that came out, and it's like, this music is already sounds different. And I think the goal is always to sound like as you as possible. And I feel like maybe I got Chase Rice was here talking about how his old music and how he doesn't resonate with it anymore and stuff like that. And I just think that's something that artists don't necessarily talk about enough. You know, I think their publicist is probably like, come on, you know, be excited about this stuff. But you know, I think we're constantly evolving and our tastes are changing and just trying to make music that feels and sounds like home, and that's why we went out west to get all this stuff, and you know, trying to keep that in mind, you know, as I'm making and writing more music. And I think everything's kind of feels like it's coming together, so I'm really, really excited.
I love that.
Yeah. Dude, that's great. And we're rooting for you, brother.
Thanks, dude. I could come on here and talk about film with you guys all the time. Like, yeah. You guys are right next to the film drop-off, too. It's great.
Oh, really?
The Boutique Film Lab.
Oh, is there one out here?
Is that where you go?
Yeah, but I dropped it off in East.
Oh, yeah. Did they get rid of that drop-off?
No, it's still over
there.
It's
still over there?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. But yeah, it's fun. I mean, talking about losing rolls and stuff, I was so excited. I have this 3D film camera that takes, makes GIFs.
Oh, yeah. What happened? Because you took a couple photos of me in the studio.
We lost it after the second day.
Oh, no.
And I was so bummed. And then I got home the other night, and it was, buried in this, the computer slide, thin little slide pocket of my backpack, and one of the guys put it in there. I was like, no, we missed it. But
it means I wanted to see what I look like in 3D.
Well, I'm getting those developed right now, so I'll send you some pictures.
Okay, good. I'm glad you paid for expedited development.
I know, but no, it was so fun. It's the world building thing. You know, it's out west was cool. We went out to Sedona for a few days, and
the fucking best, bro.
You know, I've got my guys there that I've been working with, and we did a 2-hour off-road trail to get to this sick campsite, and it was overlooking Sedona at sunset. And it was I'll show you guys some pictures here when we get done, but. I'm just obsessed. I wish I could show you guys on the podcast, but
maybe we can edit them in.
Clip it out. We'll edit them in. Yeah.
I did when I was in Sedona, I went with Jake and Matt and Corey, and I was like, do you guys want to get up early with me and go for a hike? And they were like, no. So I got up at 4 a.m. and hiked up this little mountain, and at the top, it was 6 a.m. and the sun was coming up, and people were launching balloons, mm-hmm. The hot air balloons, and I had 10 cameras with me. I was like, it was awesome. I love Sedona. I played that Will Jones song over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Sedona.
He's so good.
His beautiful voice.
There's a lot of songs about Sedona out there that you could make a playlist on, but it was fun. It was you're just in a rental car for 5 days, just running around the desert, just trying to get stuff. And return the rental car, there was there's a dent on the hood. I'm like, that's okay. Fuck no big deal. Yeah, just a couple extra $100.
It's just vibes, bro.
Yeah, you know, I feel like in Nashville, not everyone, but it's so easy to be like, how can I make a TikTok in my bedroom, you know, for my new song that's coming out? And it's like, I'd rather come up with a cool, fun, interesting, cinematic, world-building deal, and we did it. And I feel really good about it, and I'm excited. I'm probably going to go work on the It Ain't Nothing music video after this. And
good, bro.
Yeah, you know.
Well, be on the lookout for Tyler's music video. And he's got two songs coming out, and we're all very proud of Tyler.
thanks, buddy. Well, I'll see you in the studio here in a few days.
All right, hopefully. Well, call me, brother.
Dude, yeah. Well, like you said, thanks for being on. And as we said, you can tell your headspace is immaculate right now, which is great.
It is. I'm trying to keep it that way, you know, but it's fun. So,
dude, that's what it's all about, honestly, is being in a good headspace, the best music's going to come.
Yeah.
And so we can't wait to hear not only these new singles, but the stuff that comes next.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. You guys have always been so supportive, and love hanging out with y'all. So,
oh, dude, we're the same way. We appreciate the heck out of you.
Cool. All
right. Well, I'm Kurt Ozon.
I'm Nikki T.
And we'll see you in the front row. Thanks, dude.
Cheers.
See you guys.